All right, we're in a series called Under Pressure. Through the eyes of the people we're going to talk about in the Bible, we're going to see the pressure that they went through. Enough pressure that you would think they would never come out of it. And as I studied these people in the Bible, I began to pray and I said, Lord, show me first so I can show others what these people did to overcome their pressure. So if you're under pressure, if you're going through anxiety, if you're suffering maybe through discouragement, depression, anger, whatever you're going through right now, in the end of today or maybe in the end of this series, but somewhere in between the 6 weeks, you're going to be set free and live in peace, I promise you. Only if you apply what is taught. You guys ready to apply this? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that we're about to receive. Father, we just love you. We love your house. We love people sometimes, Lord. But today, as we go into this series, Lord, I pray that you would just anoint it and speak through it. And thank you, Lord, for the worship. Thank you, Lord, for Frankie. Lord, I know that if there's no pianist, if there's no drummer, if there's no instrument, she'll get up here and clap if she has to, Lord. But she loves you. We thank you, Lord, for all those here that serve you in this church. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read the story. And as I'm reading it, I want you to really relate to this guy. His name's Abraham. You think you have bad days. You have not met Abraham. In fact, after the series, you're going to see you have no reason to complain about your life. Because if you're not going through what these people went through, don't talk to me. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. Can we all say tested? That's not a good word. It came about that after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early the next morning and he saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place in which God had told them. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here where the donkey and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and we will return to you. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Notice verse 7 now, this powerful question. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Does your heart not break if you're his dad? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind them, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. I want you to say that to yourself. The Lord will provide. One of the most stressful scariest questions you can ever ask yourself. It's just one word. This one word repeats over and over again in the minds of many people. This word is the reason that people get depressed. This one word is the reason people lose sleep. This one word is the reason people get divorced. This one word will wreak havoc on your peace, on your joy, on your life, on your destiny. This one word with a question. If you don't know how to manage this word, it will manage you to the point of death. What is the word? You guys want to know? The word is how. How? See, when God promised his son to Abraham, mind you, he was way advanced in age. Some of you can understand that, but he's way old. And God says, you're going to have a son someday. And Abraham, the one thing he said was, how? How? Because I'm way too old to be having children. In fact, when his wife Sarah heard this, she even said, how? In fact, Sarah gets to the point that she says, how? Since we have no pleasure. She's telling God, literally, we haven't, you know, in a long time. How? You see, when you look at your life, the word how replays over and over your head. That causes stress and anxiety and fear and pressure. This question how goes like, how am I going to pay the bills next month? I barely got through this one. How am I going to fix my marriage? It's not getting any better. How am I going to raise these kids to love God? They're not even wanting anything to do with Him. How am I going to find a job? How did I even lose my job? How am I going to overcome this addiction? How am I going to get through this? The question of how just dominates the minds of so many people, and it robs them of their joy and their peace, because the word how puts this pressure on us to figure it out. And there's a lot of you here this morning that you're trying to figure things out. Am I right or am I crazy? You're trying to figure things out. I need answers. I need solutions. I need a way out. I need to figure out how to come out of this. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then people are the worst, aren't they? They come up to you and remind you, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do? Did you not notice that his son went up to his own father and said, there's wood, there's fire, but how are you going to bake the offering? How are you going to provide? How are we going to get the sacrifice done? God, I don't understand. And in the mind of Abraham was, I don't know. And that's where the pressure comes. That's where so many people get under pressure, because in the pressure of how comes no answer, no solution, and you have the pressure you put on yourself or the pressure that other people put on you to figure things out in your life. How am I going to get through this? Here's the thing. Abraham was under so much pressure. Even when God told him, you're going to have a son, and he's in his late 70s. It's pretty gross. Sorry. But in Genesis 18:14, when he asked God how, I love God's answer. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time. God didn't tell him exactly when. God didn't tell him exactly how. God just told him, you can trust me. You may not know how God's going to do it in your life. You may not know how you're going to get through it. You may not know when you're going to get through it. But I promise you this, as God promised Abraham, He's promising you today. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord right now. Nothing is too difficult. It may be difficult for you. It may be difficult for your family. You may not know how. You may not know when. But God says you don't have to know how. You don't have to know when. You just have to know that I'm the Lord. Nothing's too difficult for me. And it will happen when it happens. Just trust me. Slap your neighbor and say, it will happen when it happens. Relax. Rub their shoulders. I don't know. But I feel like God is asking this question to forward today. Is anything too difficult for me? The answer is no. And next, the following year, it happened. Why? Because God's not a liar. It happened. They didn't think it would happen. They didn't know how it's going to happen. But somewhere between that time and Genesis 18 and the following year, something happened. Abraham was old. Sarah was old. They stopped trying. They stopped believing for children. Have you ever reached that point in your life that you say, time has passed. I'm not going to believe it anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to pray for it anymore. I'm not going to bother with it anymore. That's when God shows up. Somewhere in that year, Abraham got this sudden feeling, this urge, and they had a baby after. When that baby came out, it's one of those moments that God reminds you how worry and anxiety is a waste of your time. And how worry and stress and fear and the question of how does nothing make things happen. You have to trust God to make things happen. You're thinking of your how right now. How am I going to do it? Sometimes when you don't know how, it's because God is taking care of you. God gives him this child. Now, God is awesome at this point. I mean, at this point, Abraham is like, sorry, God. God, you were right. I doubted you. I'll never doubt you again. Life is good. Little Isaac's growing up. They're taking Isaac to the park. They're taking Isaac to daycare. Isaac is just growing up so fast, and life is picture perfect. Abraham looks at Isaac and says, I can't believe, God, you blessed me this way. This is amazing. Life could not get any better. And then God speaks to Abraham. And says, now Abraham, yes, God, I want you to take Isaac, that Isaac that you love so much, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. And it's not the type of prayer that parents do, like, Lord, here's my child, take him, bless him. It's literally, Lord, here's my child, take his life kind of prayer. This was a stressful situation for Abraham. Imagine God showing up in your life saying, I want you to take that thing that you love so much, or that person, and I want you to give them to me, and they're not coming back. I want you to surrender them to me. I want you to give them up for me. Imagine the stress that Abraham was under. When I was reading this story, I lost my mind. Because we read it and we think, okay, yeah, he asked him for his son. No, think about this. God asked Abraham for his son. The one that he waited his whole life for. The one that God gave him. Now God wants to take away. Yes, God says, I give, I take away. So God gave him this life that was good up to this point that God makes no sense. And doesn't life happen that way? Doesn't it happen when right when you think you've made it and life is peaceful and stable and you're actually happy that something occurs in your life that changes your life forever and that takes everything away from your past and you're thinking to God and you're looking at God and you're saying, God, this makes no logical sense. God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, this isn't fair. Why do you want to hurt me this way? And Abraham's life was forever changed the second God told him, take your son, your only son, and give him to me. He didn't cry. He didn't get angry with God. He didn't freak out. He didn't even question God. The Bible never records him doing any of those things. The Bible never records Abraham saying, God, why? The Bible doesn't even record him and Sarah having a fight about this, people. Imagine your husband telling you, hey, God told me to kill our son. At least a little argument is going to come out of that. Let's be honest. But no. Peace. No arguing, no crying, no fussing, no anger, none of that. Peace. I don't know about you. That's not me. I'm not a father. Some of you are like, lucky. I'm not a father, but I mean, I like to put myself in the shoes of these characters. I really feel them sometimes. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what do I love the most? And I love my cat. I love my cat. He is, look at him. Come on. Is there anything cuter than that? No. No. Look at, oh, I can't preach. He's so cute. But imagine, I really thought that. I said, if I love God, I gave my life to Jesus. I serve him in the ministry. I gave up everything for him. But I don't know. I don't know. If God says, now, David, take your cat, your only cat, who you love, and give them to me. You think I'm crazy, but you know your dogs and your little animals, sometimes you love them more than people. I love him more than people. If God told me, take your cat, your only cat, Judah, who you love, and just sacrifice him, I'm going to say, whoa, 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 God, listen, I love you. But I don't know about this one. But think about that. For me, it's my cat. What is it for you? Your job? Your boyfriend? Your spouse? A hobby? Something that you just love so much. And now God says, give it to me. You know what really just moved me about Abraham? He didn't cry. We understand that. He didn't get angry. He didn't fight with his wife. He, you know what was just blew my mind? Verse 3. The Bible says that Abraham, the next day, in fact, I'm going to read it for you. Abraham rose early the next morning. Let me tell you what this means. He woke up. Let's dig deeper. In order for you to wake up, you first have to what? Come on. Sleep. How do you sleep at a time like this? How can you sleep when you know tomorrow you're going to lose your son? How are you going to even lie down and try to sleep knowing today is your last day with your son? How are you going to sleep? The Bible didn't say he tried to sleep. The Bible doesn't say he tossed and turned all night. The Bible doesn't say he was filled with anxiety that he didn't get a wink of sleep at all. No, the Bible said he rose. He literally went to sleep. Now, I want you to think about this. Because I want to ask you, what do you lose sleep over? What do you lose sleep over? Is it your job? Is it your kids? Is it your marriage? Is it your health? Is it your finances? What is it that keeps you up at night? Because I guarantee you this, whatever keeps you up at night does not compare to the situation Abraham was going through. And if Abraham found the faith to go to bed at night sleeping, I want to know what the boy did. I want to know what Abraham did to get such sleep, knowing he was under pressure, knowing that he was about to lose his son, knowing that God was going to take his son. Life made no sense and everything was so difficult. He went to bed and he got up early, meaning he actually slept. We're far from Abraham, amen? The truth is, you're losing sleep, you're freaking out, you're angry, you're asking God why, you're crying, you're complaining, you might be fighting with other people because of the pressure that you're under, and you're just taking it out on them. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm saying, listen, you're under so much pressure in your marriage, with your kids, and you're paying bills, pressure with people, your health, whatever it is. And you're saying, Pastor, I could not sleep at a time like this. I can't rest. I can't relax. God makes no sense. Life is too hard. I'm under all this pressure at work. I'm under all this pressure with my spouse. I'm under all this pressure with people that want me to be there for them and help them when I myself need help. There's so much pressure to be healthy and be right and look good and feel good and diet and all of that. And there's all this pressure. Pressure. I heard a guy that was weighing himself in the bathroom and he was sucking his stomach in. His wife comes up to him and says, well, you know that's not going to make a difference. And he says, oh, I know. But it's how I'm able to see the numbers. Some of you know. That's pressure. You're under all this pressure in your life. And Abraham just says, I'm going to go to sleep. Which tells me, rest and peace is possible, even under the pressure you're in. Peace doesn't come with the absence of pressure. Many people say, you know what, Pastor, I'm under pressure, but as soon as I take a vacation or as soon as this problem is solved, I know the pressure is going to be lifted. Some people say, no, listen, relax, take some time off, and the pressure will be lifted. Just avoid pressure. I don't want to be under pressure. But listen, the honest truth is, some pressure cannot be avoided. Do you think that the pressure of parenting is going to ever be lifted off you? I don't care how old they are or out of the house or married. You're always going to be their parent. There's pressure in that. Do you think the pressure is going to be lifted at some point in your marriage? That's insane for you to think. We're going to reach a point in our marriage that the pressure is lifted. And life is just peaceful. If you don't want pressure in your marriage, don't get married. That's it. You know, marriage is like, don't get offended by this, but marriage is like those term agreements and the websites that are long and make no sense. You know what I'm talking about? It makes no sense. It's hard to understand it. We still agree to it. That's marriage. It's hard to understand. It's difficult. It's long. And yet you agree to it, so suck it up. There's pressure everywhere. People think, well, if I avoid the pressure, if I change the job, if I change this, if I do that, if I escape, then the pressure will be lifted. No, the pressure will be there when you get back. You can't avoid the pressure in life, so it doesn't happen by the absence of pressure. Peace is not a result of the absence of pressure. It's how you handle the pressure that you're in. It's how you handle what you're going through. It's not getting rid of the pressure. It's saying, no, I need to learn how to manage this. I need to know how to control this. I need to know that I can still have peace. I can still rest. I can still relax, even if I'm in this situation, even if nothing has changed, even if I'm still under this immense difficulty. I'm not going to allow whatever I'm going through to rob me of my peace, because the Bible clearly teaches through the eyes of Abraham that rest is possible under immense pressure in your life. If that were not true, why then would Jesus ever fall asleep on the boat in the midst of a storm? He was teaching the principle of resting in the middle of the storm, not resting after, not resting before. He said, in the middle of the storm, when everything is out of control, you can still have rest. In fact, look at what David said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. David went through a lot of pressure. He had a lot of stress and anxiety in his life. People were trying to kill him. He had a sick child. He committed adultery. There are all these people after him. He had pressure upon pressure. Pressure to be a good son. Pressure to be a good husband. Pressure to be a good father. Pressure to be a good king. He had all these titles under his belt, but he had all this pressure in his life. And yet you understand that David went through some how seasons. How am I going to defeat this giant? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to heal my family? They're broken. How am I going to get through this? He doesn't know how he's going to do it, but one thing he said, in peace I will lie down and sleep. Some of you only got the first one down. You lie down, but you're shaking. You lie down, but you're nervous. You lie down, but your eyes stay open. You lie down, but you never rest. You lie down, but you have anxiety. You lie down, but you have fear. You lie down, but you have anger. Oh, you lie down, okay, that's fine. But do you sleep? You say, well, Pastor, how can I sleep at a time like this? Notice what he said here. I will have peace, and I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. He said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm under pressure in my family. I'm under pressure at work. I'm under pressure in my ministry with God. David had all this pressure, but he made one determination. Only God knows how. He left it up to God. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but the reason you can't lie down, the reason you can't sleep, the reason your pressure is getting to you, and you're under pressure but you're not getting over it, is because you have not surrendered that thing to the Lord. How did Abraham find the peace to even go to bed and sleep? How did Abraham do it? Because I know for some of you right now, you're thinking, well, it's easy for other people, but not me. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know who I deal with. You don't know my children. You don't know who I'm married to. You don't know who I'm working with. You don't know what's inside my body. You don't know. And sometimes we want to justify anxiety in our lives. We want to justify worry when God said clearly, do not worry about your life. So you got to stop justifying it, because whatever you're going through does not justify a life of a believer who is under immense anxiety and stress. Stop saying that it's normal to feel what you're feeling. It is not normal for any believer, any child of God, to live a life of no peace, no joy, no rest. It makes no sense. So how did Abraham do it? Under all this pressure that he was going to take his son, his only son who he loved, after everything that he waited for, after everything he worked for, after everything he accomplished, God was just going to strip it from him, and yet he goes to bed. So as I read this, I said, Abraham, how did you do it? Because I couldn't. I would try to lie down, but I'll tell you this. It'd probably be the worst night of my life. Some of you know what that is. Some of you know what it is to have something keep you up at night because the word how keeps coming to you. How are you going to get through this? How are you going to get healed from this? How are you going to fix this? So you go to bed with the how, you wake up with the how, and in between the whole night, how is talking to you. It's time to tell how I've got to go to sleep now. How? Hebrews 11:17. This is a side of the story that people don't read in church often about Abraham. But I want you to understand what the writer of Hebrews says here. By faith, Abraham, when tested, going back to what we read in Genesis, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac. And notice what his motivation was. He who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. Now notice why. It was he to whom Isaac, notice, it was he to whom it was said, through Isaac, your descendants shall be called. So God promised, through Isaac, a great nation is going to come out of him. So Abraham put two and two together. If it's through Isaac, I know that Isaac's not going to die right now. Some of you think right now what you're going through is the end. It's over. It's not going to come through. It's not looking good for you. But Abraham did something interesting. He went back to the promise of God and his word and said, God told me through Isaac a great nation would come. So I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care the pressure I'm under. My God is not a liar, and his word trumps my pressure, my situation. It gets crazy. Abraham said, all right, God, you told me that Isaac was special, so how is he going to die right now? He considered. This is where Abraham, I don't know if you can call him crazy or just faithful, but he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. You know why Abraham was able to rest? You know why Abraham went to bed that night? You know why he didn't get angry? He didn't lose peace. He didn't lose sleep. He didn't fight with his wife. He had peace in his home. He went to bed. He got up. He made his coffee. He was smiling. He was peaceful. He was all those things you're not right now. Why? Because he considered something. When he went to bed that night, Hal showed up. How are you going to trust God when he's taking your son? How can you sleep knowing tonight's his nice night? How are you going to tell your wife? How are you going to tell people? You told everyone God gave you this baby and now you're going to kill him? How are you not going to go to jail for this? How? And he started thinking. He said, well, one time God told me that through Isaac, something good was going to happen. And then Abraham did something I want to teach you this morning. He played in his mind worst case scenario. Remember you play this game. Horrible game. I always lose. Worst case scenario. Let's play together. What's the worst case scenario in your life right now? Worst case scenario. Think, are you thinking about it? Some of you look like you're freaking out right now. You're like, worst case scenario. That's what keeps you up. Worst case scenario, that's what robs you of your joy and your peace. Worst case scenario, that's what prevents you from living with joy and trusting God. Abraham played worst case scenario in his head. Worst case scenario, he dies. Oh my gosh, he dies. Now what? How? How was telling him, what if he dies? And Abraham did something better. He said, okay, worst case scenario, he dies. But even if he dies, God can still raise him back from the dead. You know what he said, what I want to teach you this morning? When you play worst case scenario in your head, understand something. Worst case scenario, if it happens, which probably won't, but if the worst case scenario happens, God is still God. God is still in control. God is still sovereign. God still has a plan. God still has a way out. God still has not abandoned you. God still has not forsaken you. Because God says, listen, worst case scenario, you die. I will still raise him up. So Abraham said, okay, worst case scenario, the boy dies. I know that God, because he's not a liar, can raise him up. I really want to know what your worst case scenario is. I wish it would just pop up on the screen. And I will tell you God is still God of that area. But what if I get sick and die? God's still God. What if I stay alone forever? God is still God. But what if I lose my job? God will still be God. Don't let the worst case scenario cause you to forget the God that you serve. Abraham remembered the promise of God. But Abraham was human. He said, okay, worst case scenario, he dies. Man, how awesome is that? God can still raise him from the dead. That's why he got up the next morning. That's why he saddled his donkey. That's why he went up to the mountains, even had no direction. Did you notice that? He had no direction, like some of you have no direction right now. You don't know what God is up to. But God was saying, listen, Abraham, relax. I got this. He's like, God, I know you got this. I slept last night. I know that my son's going to die today. But I also know that you're going to raise him from the dead. That's why Abraham gave him to the Lord. There's only two reasons why people lose in the game of worst case scenario. You forget the promises of God that are here. That's one reason. Two, why do you lose in the worst case scenario game that goes on in your head? Not only maybe do you forget the promises of God, but your situation has become bigger than God's promise. That's why a lot of people just lose their mind. They forget God's word, or sometimes you remember His promise, but your problems are bigger than that promise. Are you making a big thing out of something that's so small to God? I want you to think about that. Are you making a big thing out of something so small in God's hands? The Lord may delay His promises, but He'll never deny them. So you may not be seeing the promises of God right now. You may be like Abraham and you're living life, but you're not clearly seeing what God wants you to do, where He wants you to go. There's no direction. God may be doing something that seems cruel, unreasonable, unfair. It seems like He's punishing you. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever stress you have, whatever keeps you up at night, can you not understand right now that you're making something so big out of something so small in the eyes of God? And God is not a liar. How do you know you're losing at this game? You want a little test for today? Notice something in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Because when you have faith in God, notice what happens. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place from the distance. Abraham said to his young men, his servants, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad, the child, will go over there. We will worship and return to you. What did Abraham say here? We're both coming back from this. Let me ask you this question, and it's going to determine if you're passing the test, if you're winning in that game of worst case scenario in your head. How do you speak? How do you talk about your situation? How do you talk about it in conversation? How do you talk about it to yourself? What comes out of your mouth? Because listen, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth shows me what's inside your heart. The fact that Abraham said, oh, we're going up there. Oh, it's going to be hard. But I know we are coming back from this. I want to tell someone in Jesus' name, you're coming back from this. You may not be understanding what is God doing, but what he said. That's why the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that word life and death literally means joy, happiness. The reason that you have no joy in your life is because you keep speaking the curse. You keep speaking worst case scenario. You keep telling yourself, I'm not going to make it. You keep telling yourself, life is hard. If you keep telling yourself, your job is terrible, you're going to have a terrible job. It's that easy. You're just that crazy. How are you speaking? What's your conversation like? On the phone, through text, on Facebook, at Starbucks. When people say, how are you doing? What comes out of your mouth? Girl, you don't know. Life is so hard on me. If it is, if that's what you're saying, that's what you're going to get. What you speak tells a lot about what's in your heart. You keep telling people your life is hard. You keep telling people your marriage is terrible. You keep telling people life is so unfair. You keep telling yourself you're sick. Why don't you have some faith and proclaim right now that God's going to get you out of this? Don't live in denial like some crazy person. I'm fine. No. Abraham knew this hike with his son was going to be hard. You know why it was going to be hard? Because remember, he thought. Can I preach this morning? He thought that his son was going to die. And he thought he was going to raise him up. I get that. That's awesome faith. But he was still going to have to see his son die. So he knew what he was going to go through. That was going to be hard. What he was going to witness. That was going to be hard. I'm not taking from you what you're going through. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's complicated. I know it puts pressure on you. I'm not taking any of that from you. But I'm telling you right now, you're coming out of it. You're going to come out of it. But do you speak like that? Do you walk like that? Do you think like that? Or do you just walk with your head up? If a servant says, where are you going, Abraham? He didn't tell his servants, I don't know. But I know I'm coming back alone. He didn't tell his servants, I don't know why God's doing this. Life is so hard. I don't know. He didn't. He said, I don't know what God's doing. I know I'm going to have to see my son die. We're going to come out of this. That's faith. How do you speak? Stop worrying about how. It's killing you. It's killing you, literally. The pressure is so much in people today. Anxiety and depression and discouragement is through the roof. It's making you physically sick, emotionally broken. And it's your choice. Stop thinking. You know what? You don't have to figure it out. Whatever God reveals to you, great. Whatever He doesn't, trust Him. It's that easy. You want to know the good part about this story? Someone needs to hear this today. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father, and here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb?" You know, I can't prove this, but in my twisted mind, I think the devil got through Isaac. I can't prove it, but I know somewhere the devil was just there through Isaac saying, "Where's the lamb? Oh, you don't got a lamb. Oh, because that's the lamb, your son. But I thought God gave you that son. If God gave you that son, why is He asking you? What is God up to? Is God fair? Does God really love you? Abraham, what did you do? You have to have done something really bad. Because if not, Abraham, why would He ever ask you to take a son? Abraham, did you notice He's not asking anyone else to go through this? Why you?" Isaac, with his little innocent eyes, I know that was the devil. I can't prove it. I'll ask God one day. But I wonder how many of you have a little Isaac in your life telling you how. What are you going to do? How are you going to get out of this? How many of you have an Isaac right now? Am I crazy? Come on. Hands up. I got an Isaac. I need to cast some Isaacs out of you. Notice what he said. He said, "Where's the burnt offering?" I love what he said next. He says, "I don't know. I don't know." Have you ever been there where you just don't know? I mean, God leaves you in this place of, you're not going to know. I don't know. You may not know, but that's okay. Because notice what he spoke after. God will provide. I want to tell someone, you're worried, you're anxious, you're stressing out for nothing. Stop trying to figure it out. You got to tell Isaac to shut up already. And just say, "God, I don't know. God, this is hard. But one thing I do know, You don't lie. And I'm getting out of this." And God does something better. Abraham said, "God will provide for Himself the lamb." So he said, "God's going to bring me the lamb. God's going to bring me a lamb. God is bring." Can we all say lamb? Lamb. Lamb. Say it loud. Lamb. Tell your neighbor, lamb. Lamb. Awesome. Go get a little lamb. Look at verse 13. Something happens. Verse 13, the Bible says, Abraham raised his eyes up. You know why the Bible says he took his eyes up? I think it's because he had his head down. Some of you came here, your head is down. You're sad, you're discouraged. We all go through seasons. Do not disturb seasons. My head is down. God said, put your hands up. Look at your eye. Lift up your head. Look what I'm doing. Can you imagine when God finally opens up your eyes and you see what He's really going to do? How He's really going to come through? And Abraham raised his eyes. He looked and behold, behind him, a ram. Can we all say ram now? Ram. Hey, loud. So I want this side to say lamb. I want this side to say ram. Ready? Now all together. Yeah, good. All right, you got it? What's the difference? Because Abraham said, God's going to bring a lamb. But then I read chapter 22 there, and the Bible said, no, God brought a ram, not a lamb. Not a lamb, but a ram. I know it's annoying you, but wait. Little Isaac came to my ear and said, ooh, I think there's a contradiction here. Something's off. oh no, something's not off. Something is so on, it's God. Because the word ram in the Hebrew, I mean, you think like ram, like the horns or the worst team in the NFL. But when you think about rams, you think about those creatures. But no, the word ram there in the Hebrew just means mature, adult lamb. Can I tell you what happened with Abraham that was so wrong of him? He had faith. He knew God would provide. But he had lamb faith. The word lamb there means baby, infant, small. When God provided, it was big, mature, big old lamb. The Lord spoke to me, so you got to tell someone in your church, David, that they're operating at a lamb level when I'm a ram God. You have faith. Oh yeah, you have faith. You believe God, but your faith is just little. And I don't know what you know, but the Bible says you have little faith. No, no, you know what I'm talking about. You have the type of faith that, you know, I know God is God, but what can He really do in my life? Huh? Can God really do anything big in my life? Can God really do something amazing? Look at my situation, and I have a lot of lamb thinkers, and you're operating at the lamb level, and you got lamb vision. But we serve a God that says, I'm a ram God. And when He took His eyes up, God said, you thought I was going to do something little, but look how much bigger and better. And God said, listen, Abraham, you were on one side of the mountain and you were under so much pressure, but you didn't know that on the other side of the mountain, you couldn't see it. But a ram was on the way. And I want to tell someone this morning, you may not see it right now, you may not understand it, but on the other side of your situation, God is providing something bigger and better. Just wait for Him. Just wait for Him. Stop thinking at a lamb level. And stop believing for the ram to come. I don't know what your ram is, but the Bible says that He is able to do far more than we ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. That's ram. God's talking about a ram there. God is able to do more, so stop believing for more. Start thinking more and start trusting God for more. The devil might tell you, okay, believe God, but just believe Him for a little. I don't know how many people you either think at a lamb level or no lamb level at all. I don't know what's worse. But do you believe that on the other side of your situation, on the other side, at the right time, you're going to be at the right place, at the right time, in the right season, because God said, you don't know, have to know how, but at the appointed time, I'll show up. Can we confess today and say, Pastor, I have a lamb in my head. I think too small. I believe too small. Can you confess and say, I have a lamb mouth? The way I speak is just a lack of my faith. I always tell myself how bad things are. I always tell myself how things are ever going to change. I always tell myself I'm the worst person ever. I'm just speaking this curse into my life. And God says, listen, you're under pressure. Things are hard, but you know why you can sleep at night? Because you know the next day the ram is coming. You know the next day that God is still God. You know that He's still in control. So if you're playing that worst case scenario game right now, I hope you're winning. Because you know that the worst case scenario, God can still provide. Can I pray for you this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed. I love this message so much. So much. Not because it had my cat in it, but because I know some of you walked into this church this morning. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you've been here for a long time. Maybe you're joining us online in our podcast. I don't know where you're at right now. But could it be that today, at an appointed time, God would have you where you're at right now listening to this word, because He wants you to know and believe that a ram is coming. Bigger, better than you thought. than you believed. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm losing at the worst case scenario. The how in my life is just robbing me of my joy and my peace and my sanity. And I want to pray with you. Because God loves you too much to see you suffering through the life that He has planted for you. The Lord may delay His promises, but He has not denied them for you. So for anyone here that thinks, like Abraham and Sarah, it's too late for me. You might think it's too late. I wonder why you operate at a lamb level. Maybe because of your past, your mistakes, your sins, your regrets, the things you're ashamed of. Now the voice comes, just think at a lamb level. God can't do anything in your life because remember who you were or who you are. Maybe you're overcoming right now problems and addictions and bondages, and you're thinking at a lamb level because you've asked God time and time again to forgive you, but you go back to it. You're asking God to deliver you, but you're still in bondage to it. So you're thinking at a lamb level. A lamb level says, I'll never come out of this. Maybe you're thinking at a lamb level because of what people have told you, because of who you were. And let me tell you something about Abraham. Abraham grew up in a terrible family. The Bible says that his family were all pagan idol worshipers. It doesn't matter who your family was. I don't care who your mama was. I don't care what childhood you had. You don't think at a lamb level just because of how you were raised or who your parents are. The Bible says Abraham made terrible mistakes. He lied. He went and slept with another woman that wasn't his wife. And yet God still blessed him. There were consequences to that, yet God still blessed them. So maybe you're saying, I'm at a lamb level because I've committed sin. I've made so many mistakes. You don't know what I've done. Can God really love me? Yes, He loves you right now more than He's ever has, because God cannot possibly love you any less, any more than He does right now. Or maybe you're thinking at a lamb level because your situation is just too difficult. But remember the question that God asked Abraham. Is anything really too difficult for me? Can I tell you what my point is? You have no reason or excuse to be living at a lamb level. It's time for you to get that how in your life. And just trust God with His word. Father, I pray that You would open up the hearts today of everyone here. I pray, God, for anyone that's come to this church at a lamb level, thinking small. God, I pray that You will prove them so wrong with how great You are. I know, God, for many people here today on the other side of their mountain, they don't see it, they can't perceive it, but I pray, Jesus, that the day comes that You pick their head up, that they can see what You are providing, and it's so much better and bigger than what they were thinking or believing for, Father. I know that we ask You for a lamb. Forgive us, Father, when You want to give us the ram. Help us, Father, to open up to the ram level of thinking, to believe for better, not because of who we are, because of what we've done, but because of who You are and what You have done. You are our Father. You are the great I Am. And in Jesus' name, we are more than conquerors. And we know, God, that You are faithful. And the ram is coming. Just hold on. It's just a test. It's just a test. Show me your hands right now, church, if you're saying, Pastor, I want to start living at a ram level. I've been thinking like a lamb. Pastor, I'm under so much pressure. God bless you. You, they're all around the room. Pastor, I'm under so much pressure that I've stopped believing. I've lost joy. I've lost peace. And I need God to help me. Come on, show me your hands, people. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, God, And I tell you, you cannot operate at a ram level until you first receive the Lamb of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on that cross. The Bible says if anyone believes that Jesus died on that cross for their sins and that he's God, he will be saved. Before God can take control of your life, you must first surrender it. So my question is today, if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, what are you waiting for? If this is you, you put your hand up too, and I want to pray with you as well. So let's all stand together. Let's pray. And if you're able, and if you don't mind, would you please join hands with that person next to you? You may not know them. Introduce yourself. We normally don't do this, but when I feel like this is a message for the entire church, I always ask to join hands. This is a message for everyone. There is not one person that can leave this church and say, I didn't need this. Because we all have pressure. Stop thinking of how and start believing for when. God's going to do it. Trust Him. Father, thank you for this series we just opened up with. God, I know that Abraham is just such an example to us. That even if we're not perfect, and even though we've come from a troubled past, and even though we're limited by our capability, Lord, physically, you're still able to do so much more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. Abraham is a testimony, Lord, that we need to start believing for bigger, for better. And we need to pass this test and know that your words stand over our situation and whatever pressure we're going through. So, Father, for anyone here who has forgotten their promises, your promises, Lord, or for anyone here who is making a big thing out of something so little to you, Father, forgive them. And, Father, I pray for anyone here, like Sarah, who thinks it's too late for them. Sarah, who laughed when told God was going to bless her. I pray for that spirit of laughter and unbelief to be denounced right now in the name of Jesus. That spirit that tells you, not you. That spirit that limits you. For anyone here who has passed that point that they feel it's too late, God, for this church, may you open up our eyes to see the ram and not the lamb. Give us ram level thinking. Make this a ram level church. Let us pray at a ram level. Let us worship at a ram level. Let us believe and forgive us when we ask for a lamb. When we're believing for little, when you're so much bigger. Keep us faithful, keep us patient. Because we know that at the other side, the ram is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you shout today, the ram is coming. Tell your neighbor right now, the ram is coming. Wait, pass the test. Worst case scenario, you still win. Isn't God amazing? Worst case scenario, you still win. Can we give God a loud shout of praise today?